Perek Chaf Aleph Mishnah Gimel. Beishame Omer, Beishame Se. Magbien min hashulchan atzamos u klipin. A person on Shabbos is permitted to remove from his dining room table with his hands bones and peels. Bones, even though a person doesn't eat it. So maybe you think it's mukta, lamaisa, you could feed it to your dog. So it's not really mukta. And peels, even though people don't eat peels, but you feed it to your animals. So therefore, you may think it has no purpose, it has no usage, and therefore it's mukta. Comes along the Mishnah to tell us that Bisham may say that these food items have other functions, like dog food or animal food, and therefore it's permitted to remove it from the table with your hands. Ubeis Hill, Omen Beshil say, no. No tzlos atav lakula, pick up your whole entire plate with the peels and the bones on it, umanara, and then shake off the peels and the bones, and let it just fall down to the ground, because he says that the tavla, the plate, is like a utensil, and therefore it's permitted to move that plate on Shabbos, because you move with it the bones and the peels, and the reason why this is permitted, Basil's gonna hold that really these things are mukta. Even though, yeah, I can feed it to my animals, he says lamaisa, people don't eat it, it's mukta. So how do you get it off your table? You pick up the plate, and you do a tilzel min atzad, you do a side movement. It's not direct, you're not using your hands. But Shami goes as far as to say you could use your hands, because hey, the animals can eat it. But we still say, you know, very nice, the animals can eat it, but since people can't eat it, it is mukta, and therefore you can only move it min atzad, meaning from the side, like using your plate as a shinoi. But to remove it with your actual hands, he says it's prohibited. Because they weren't prepared from Erev Shabbos to be fed to an animal. Meaning if you had prepared it before Shabbos to feed it to an animal, then fine. So he's not really honing in on whether people can eat it or not. The main problem here is that even though you could feed it to your animals, you didn't set it aside to feed it to your animals. Had you set it aside to feed it to your animals, then yes, you can move it with your hands. But now that you didn't, he deems it mukta, and therefore you have to move it only, you know, with the plate. So I take that back. It wasn't because it's not edible for people. It's just that you didn't prepare it for your animal. Had you prepared it, then you can move it directly. Now that you didn't, you use the plate instead. Now there's a Tosefta that brings down the gears of the text the opposite way around. So you like change the opinions. The Beis Hillel are the ones that say you could pick it up from the table with your actual hands. And Beis Shammai are the ones that say that you could pick up the plate and then shake it off. And the truth is, the Gemara has this text as well, to flip it around. That Beis Shammai will go like the opinion of Rabbi Huda. Beis Shammai hold like Rabbi Huda, who says that it's mukta, and you can only, you know, do it, do it with a shinoi by picking up the plate and throwing off the, and tilting off the bones. And Beis Hillel go like Rav Shimon that says that it's not gonna be, mukta on Shabbos. Rav Shimon holds that there's no problem. Rav Shimon will go as far as to say there's no mukta at all on Shabbos. But most of the commentaries explain that Rav Shimon says, that Lohitir Rav Shimon tilted with Shabbos, meaning he permits, you know, almost everything, but that's only when there's, you know, real usage. There's something to it, like bones, you can feed it to your dogs, or the peels, you can feed it to your animals. He says they're not mukta. But to say, you know, that across the board there's no such thing as mukta at all, that Rav Shimon of course won't say, and therefore things that have absolutely no purpose, even if Shimon, who says there's no, you know, prohibition of mukta on Shabbos, will say, that items that have no purpose, they are mukta. It's just items that you could find, you know, alternatives for, like give it to your animals, even if you didn't prepare it before Shabbos, then it's not mukta. Rav Shimon was a unique sheet in the Gemara, a unique opinion that held that there's no mukta on Shabbos. But they're explaining, at least according to most commentaries, that doesn't mean entirely no mukta. It just means no mukta for things like what we're discussing now. But something that has no usage at all, of course, even Rav Shimon would say it's mukta. Okay, ma'avirin mithnei ha'shulchan, you can remove from on top of your table peruin crumbs, pachus mikazayis, even if the crumbs are afilu, even if they're less than the amount of a kazayis, of an olive. V'seyar shel afunin, and you can remove the peels of peas. V'seyar shel hadashim, and the peels of lentils. Why? Because all these things, these crumbs and these peels, are you can feed it to your animals, and therefore it's permitted to move them on Shabbos. What about sfog? If you have a sponge that you would clean with it, so when it's wet, and you're cleaning the table, so there's going to be a problem. So we see it like this. If it has a leather handle, which is non-absorbent, then the kanchumbo, you can clean with it on Shabbos. If it imlav, if it has no leather handle, you cannot clean with it on Shabbos, because then what's going to happen is, if there's no handle, you're going to hold the sponge, you're going to squeeze it. And if you're squeezing it, you do chitas begav and amayim asura, because of kivas. When you squeeze it, you're doing the prohibition of kivas, of, you know, washing your, it's like washing clothing on Shabbos. And that's a prohibition. So you can only use this sponge if it has a handle. Otherwise, you can't use it, at all, because of the problem that's going to come to, doing kivas of, like laundry on Shabbos. Whether it has a handle, whether it has no handle, neither of Shabbos, you could take it on Shabbos. It's permitted when it's dry, not when it's wet, when it's dry, because it's like a utensil, and therefore it's not muktzah. However, even though it's a utensil, there's going to be a side note over here that v'ein mekabel tumah, it's not susceptible to become tamei. Meaning, it's not from the types of utensils that could become tamei. Clothing could become tamei. Leather, or a bag, or a piece, or wooden utensil, a metal utensil, an earthenware utensil, all these things can become tamei. But if you have like a plank of wood, just like or a stone, or in this case, you know, this sponge, even though, the sponge, you know, looks like a utensil, it's really not a utensil, and regarding the laws of tumah, just like a stone and a plank of wood, are not susceptible to tumah because they're not utensils. So to the sponge, even though it's a utensil regarding Shabbos, the Chacham said you can move it as long as it's dry, even though it has no handle, regarding tumah, we won't deem it a utensil, and therefore it can't become tumah. So there's two leniencies the Chacham are saying here. Regarding Shabbos, we'll make it like a utensil, even though it has no handle, and you can move it when it's dry. Whereas regarding tumah, it's not a utensil, and therefore if it came in contact with a dead person or dead animal, then it actually won't be susceptible to tumah because it's just like a plank of wood. So that would be a leniency. Okay, that concludes Perek Chaf Aleph. We're coming to the very, very end over here of Masechta Shabbos. Moving right along to Perek Chaf Beis. Chav is if a barrel of wine, Shinishbura, that broke on Shabbos. So we're in Mishnah Aleph. Chav is a barrel of wine that Shinishbura that broke on Shabbos. Matzilan Heimane Mazon Shalosh Sudot. You can save from this barrel enough wine for the three meals on Shabbos. Just like we had learned earlier in Parak Tezayin, in Mishnah's Beis and Mishnah's Gimel, that you can save food from a fire. So to over here, it's permitted. And it's permitted to save the amount that you need for the three meals on Shabbos, even in many utensils. Whereas if you were just using one utensil, you could even save, you know, 100 meals. So with one utensil, you could stuff it up as much as you want. But with multiple utensils, only enough for the three meals on Shabbos. And that which they didn't permit to use, to save for more than the three meals on Shabbos, we're afraid that, you know, just like by the fire, you're going to come to, put out the fire. So to over here, you may come to fix your barrel of wine because you're afraid that all this expensive wine is going to spill out. So we say only enough for three meals. You shouldn't come to fix your barrel. Or they say another reason is that you might start schlepping stuff into public domain because you've got to move things around, and that would be carrying on Shabbos. Okay. You can tell other people as well. Come and save for yourself, meaning take it for yourself. And each person could take enough for the three meals. Ubalan shlo yisapig. And that's only shlo yasim. Don't put a sponge into the wine. Because if you put a sponge into the wine in order to draw out the wine, to draw it out and then squeeze it out later into utensil, that's going to be a problem because you may come to squeeze that sponge, and therefore don't use a sponge to save the wine. Moving right along, in Sochlin Saperos, you cannot squeeze fruit on Shabbos. Hotzim had mashkin to take out their liquid, the liquid from the fruit, because that's going to be a tolda of dush, of like threshing. And this could be very applicable if you're eating grapefruit and you want to, you know, when you're coming to the end of it, you want to squeeze it out and drink that liquid. You can't do that on Shabbos. You can't squeeze a lemon on Shabbos either. Now, there are different heterim. If you're doing it over food, then it could be as permitted. So check with your halachic authority on what the rules are over here. But in general, you know, just the raw halacha is you can't squeeze fruit on Shabbos because you're doing, it's a tolda, it's a subcategory of dash, of threshing. What happens if the fruit juice comes out on their own? Even if the liquid came on, out on its own, then I still assume that actual liquid is prohibited to be drank, to drink it on Shabbos, lest you come to squeeze out fruit with your hand. So you can't squeeze it, and you can't even drink the fruit that comes out if it came out even on its own. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the fruit are meant to be eaten, then, meaning not just, you know, to be, let's see. If the fruit are meant to be eaten, then it's a mehen mutter, that which the fruit juice comes out of is permitted to be drank on Shabbos. Because since your das, your knowledge of it is, you know, ain dai to nochem izesh yetzumehem amashkim, since you didn't want the liquid to come out, right? These are things that are meant to be eaten, not to be drank. And it came out, so now we're not concerned you're going to squeeze it because you didn't want it to come out in the first place. However, if the fruit are designated for, you know, liquid, then of course it's a mehen asur, the liquid that will come out of it would be prohibited then. Because now you wanted the juice to come out, and now we're afraid you're going to come to squeeze it, so we don't even let you drink that which comes out on its own unless you come to start squeezing the fruit. Now the Gemara explains that the truth is that they go through the categories. By things like olives and grapes, even if Yehuda would admit that even if you're just going to, you know, munch on them as a food, still that which comes out of them is prohibited because those things are meant for squeezing the juice out. But all of the fruit that are only for eating, fine. So Rabbi Yehuda, who permitted the juice comes out of actual foods, would still admit that foods like olives and grapes, even though you're munching on them, since their main purpose is the liquid, that which comes out of it is prohibited. And then, looking at the Chachamim, they would also admit that all the fruit that are meant only for eating, so they would admit that the juice that comes out of it is permitted, because we're not concerned that he's going to squeeze it. So where are they arguing? It seems like they're on the same page. So he says, no, the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda are only arguing by something in between, like tusim, strawberries, rimonim, or pomegranates. Where are they? Are they like, you know, olives and grapes that are always meant to be squeezed, or are they like apples that are not meant to be squeezed? So Rabbi Yehuda compares them to all the fruit, and therefore you could just eat the juice that comes out of Shabbos without considering it comes to, you're going to come to squeeze fruit. Whereas the Chachamim compare it to olives and grapes, that, you know, their main purpose is for the liquid, and therefore, even if you're just eating them, you can't eat the juice that comes out from them on Shabbos, and that would be their point of contention where they argue with each other. Chalos devash, if you have cakes of honey, here they describe it, you have these chalos shel shav, these wax cakes that are removed from a beehive, and there's honey in them. Shariska may have Shabbos, you crush them up from before Shabbos so that the honey will drip out. And now, v'yatzmi atzman, the honey comes out on Shabbos on its own from these wax cakes that are all crushed up. Asurim, the honey is prohibited to be eaten on Shabbos, because we're afraid that you're going to come to squeeze the cakes and you know, you're going to crush up these cakes of wax to get more honey out of it on Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says it's permitted to eat the honey on Shabbos because he's not concerned they're going to come to crush these other, you know, wax cakes on Shabbos. Okay, that concludes Mishnah Aleph.